Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we have Elena Omano on the line. Elena, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, let me put my mic down and raise yours up. Ladies and gentlemen, this woman is a special person to me. I've known her for quite some time. And first of all, how are you doing, Elena?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. I'm doing well, and I'm so proud and glad to have you calling this show.
Thank you, Charles.
You know, I was looking on Google, and it had your bio on there, and I said, wow, PhD, author, I mean, journalist, all these things. And I've known you, you know, it's almost like 20 years now.
Quiet on that.
And I remember the books, you know, like Paul Newman. I remember you know, the books with Paul Newman and Sam Shepard. And, you know, I think when people saw your articles in the Voice and saw you writing articles on reggae, they didn't really appreciate, they didn't know, I don't think, what other things you've done. And now I look at, you know, your record, I just say, my God, this woman is fantastic. She's accomplished a lot.
Thank you. I'm still broke, but
you're still.
I do things for love, not money.
I sent a couple of your articles to people, you know, especially the one on the dance hall, and because.
You mean the one on homophobia?
Yeah.
I've written a lot about dance hall.
Well, the one on homophobia, I thought, was really important because, you know, I've been involved in reggae music for so long, and I came in when it was conscious reggae music, and that's what attracted me. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that I would have been attracted to the stuff that's, you know, that it evolved to, you know, and even though I know that's a period that it goes through. But can you expound a little bit on that?
Well, I don't have that feeling that some people do about it was great then and it's not great now at all. I love dance hall. I love the energy. It goes right through me. I love dance hall. I love the old stuff. I don't, you know, really discriminate between the two. As far as the previous music being conscious and it's not conscious now, I think music reflects the milieu that it comes out of. That was the 60s, 70s. It was a worldwide explosion of realization that people, certain segments of the population world over, who had been disenfranchised all these centuries, had rights, you know, mm-hmm. and had dignity and had worth. And so it was an awareness and had to fight for their rights and had every right to their rights.
Right.
And that was, you know, everywhere. And I think in Jamaica, you know, it's a very special island. Very special place, special people. I think it's a very unusual place in that when it's great, it's the greatest. When it's bad, it's the worst. It's a place of extremes. It's a fascinating place. It's a place of a lot of creativity, etc. And so I think a lot of the expression of that consciousness that came out of Jamaica with reggae, with the rhythm of the music, which was fantastic, with the explosion, all these wonderful musicians, a lot of them trained at Alpha Boys School. Fascinating story, that alone. You know, it really captured the world imagination, especially with certain key figures like Bob Marley, Jimmy Cliff, but there were so many. However, I will say this, you know, at its worst, even the so-called conscious music, at its not-so-inspiring, mm-hmm. was very didactic, very, I'm superior to you, and I'm going to tell you how you should act, how you should think, how you should behave, how you should dress, blah, 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 you know, all that kind of stuff. And I don't appreciate that at all, because I really, my favorite expression that I learned living in Jamaica was just allow one, you know, just allow one. Let a person be who they are.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And keep your nose out of other people's business and just tend to your own garden.
Seeing blind.
Work on your own consciousness and don't tell other people how they should be living. At the same time, you know, this whole business of homophobia, you know, in the article, I was trying to explain why Jamaica is homophobic, but Jamaica doesn't have a franchise in homophobia. We got plenty of rabid homophobics right here in USA.
Right,
they're
right.
All over the world. You know, Jamaica just came into the spotlight because of the dance hall artists and the stuff that they were saying, and I don't know how deluded they could have been to think that they could say the kind of things that they were saying after what happened with Boom Bye Bye.
Right,
like 10
right.
years before. They just had this idea that they could keep saying it and nobody was going to notice. But, you know, the point that, and these are great artists. I think Sizzler's a great artist. I think Capleton's a great artist. I think there's tons of great artists. Let me tell you, Sizzler and Capleton
yes.
are among my top all-time artists. I have seen shows in Jamaica, like in little country places, with Sizzler and Capleton together, and I'm telling you, as far as vibes go,
yeah.
nothing could top it.
Energy, the energy and the positivity that you feel there.
I don't even know what it was, you know. I think they were chatting about Batiman. I just, like, tuned it out. You know, I just tuned it out. I swear, but they're just, like, incredible performers. Let's not forget this is entertainment, too. Anyway, the point I want to make is they express a particular society. It's, you know, it's in Jamaica, they have buggery laws, and these are a legacy of England, all right?
Right.
This is colonialism. This is neocolonialism action. And the people in Jamaica, and between that and the Bible thumping, which is also a legacy of neocolonialism, you know, I don't think Jamaicans realize how much that has infiltrated their brain, you know? And I think we, you know, the colonialists and the slavers had a lot to do with planting those ideas in their heads. And then along comes the U.S. selling them cable TV and satellite and all of that. And they're inundated with this outrageous stuff on HBO, sex stuff. And it completely freaked them out.
I know.
It completely freaked them out. And that's, you know, so who are we to, like, stand in judgment of them? It's something that we sort of created in a way. And but as far as, like, comparing the music then and now,
mm-hmm.
what do you think? If gay rights had been as active in the 70s and as pervasive, and if there'd been images on television of men kissing each other and women kissing each other and all kinds of, like, parties being advertised and X-rated stuff, if that had been going on in the 70s when Bob and the rest of the original Roots, you know, reggae guys were singing and writing, what the heck do you think they would have to say about that?
Well, actually,
you think they wouldn't have chanted down Batiman?
Actually, Elena, Bob did in Midnight Ravers. If you listen to the lyrics of that, he really sang it, but he's not really going out and saying kill anybody. You know.
Well, Bob was very, very intelligent, to put it mildly, and he had a way of singing in parables and in universalities
mm-hmm.
that allowed people from anywhere to identify with what he was saying. That's the mark of a truly great artist. Other artists get a little too specific, and they sort of box themselves in a corner.
Like Peter Tosh.
Well, Peter, you know, but there's something about Peter that I really admire. He had honesty. You know, he kept it real.
Really, I loved him. I loved him.
Yeah, you have to love his spirit, you know. The other thing about I want to say, you know, so the point that I'm trying to make is that Jamaica has always been extremely homophobic, but they're not the only ones, for sure. This is a worldwide thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it has to do with the influence of colonialism and neocolonialism. And as far as then and now and the music, if it had been a social issue in the 70s, like it is now in this new millennium, I'm sure they would have been chanting it down.
Yeah, I think so. I think so,
yeah,
too.
And as far as the music is concerned, I think it continues to be great. It continues to evolve in to suit the tastes of the times. I love the original music. Every time I'm playing it, I can't believe that one little island, 4,400 square miles, like about 2 million some odd people, could produce so many musical geniuses.
Now, let me ask you this, though. Do you believe that sometimes the Jamaicans don't know what they have. It's like they're in the house and they can't see the house the way we see the house. They're inside the house, so they don't have a full appreciation that we may have from looking at it from the outside.
That's true of, nobody sees us like people, mm-hmm. The way we see ourselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's mm-hmm. just not exclusive to any country. Mm-hmm. I mean, the U.S. doesn't appreciate itself in the negative sense and the positive sense accurately,
right.
the way people outside of us see us. I mean,
right.
I'm that way, you're that way, we're all that way.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I don't see anything in that. I mean, Jamaicans are very proud people. They really have a kind of a Shante, warrior character.
Well, the reason I say that is that I do hear Jamaicans say that sometimes, that, we don't appreciate what we have.
Well, sometimes they don't appreciate it, and sometimes they overinflate it,
Uh-huh,
but that's
uh-huh.
true of everybody.
Yeah.
Sometimes they think they're, like they have immunity from criticism. Nobody can say anything to them about them, And
yeah.
sometimes they don't appreciate it. I think, for a long time, and this, the uptown types really had no clue about how incredible the music was that was coming out of, let's say, Trenchtown, Kingston.
Right.
They just didn't have a clue of the genius that was flowering there. Not a clue. I remember...
That's that class thing, too, though.
Well, it's the class thing, but I remember, in the early 80s, I was at some kind of thing about the land and the sea, something or other, and I was talking to the junior, this is in Kingston, the junior minister of something or other. And I said to him, economics or something, and I said, do you know that your greatest resource is reggae? In other words, and of course now, the island does recognize that there's a lot of money being made from this industry, from the music industry there.
Right.
And I said to him, he just looked at me like, what are you talking about? And I'm wondering what did you think the greatest resource was? Uptown profiling. I just couldn't believe it.
Wow.
But they've changed. They realize it now. Now you get all these uptown people talking to the bon patois, chatting. And now it's the hip thing to do.
Well, I'm seeing how the music is in this country and how the music is in England. And do you have an explanation why the music in England is, in Europe in general, is more popular than in America?
Well, I think the music is very popular here. But as far as why caught on there, I'll tell you why, because they don't have good music of their own. We have black Americans. Hello.
Thank you.
for whatever reason, okay, but we have a very strong history, musical history, and it's pretty much entirely due to African Americans. I mean, look at all the genres. Jazz started here. R&B started here. Blues started here. Soul.
And this is the thing I'm trying
hip-hop.
To do.
Hip-hop. Hello, America has a very powerful musical heritage of its own, and let's not forget that reggae comes out of that, too. Reggae comes out of people being tuned to New Orleans and Miami radio and picking up that early R&B, that early jazz, melding it with mento, a little bit of Cuban.
And country western also.
Well, and also country western, yep, definitely. And, it all, of course, nothing's new under the sun, but the Jamaicans put it together in a way that I find is the greatest music there is. But the U.S. has their own music. France, Germany, Italy, hello, they don't have, the only music they have is from their colonies, their former colonies, like the Africans,
yeah.
The African music. England, yes, was reggae's bigger there. England is much smaller, so everything is mixed together. We are a continent. They're an island, they don't even have the space to slice, dice, and separate things into genres, which is stupid the way we do it here. But, satellite radio is kind of changing the game a little bit. So I hope things do change here. But also, they had many more West Indians coming to England, starting like the 40s, 50s. Because those were their colonies.
So that basically explains it.
If you've got two Jamaicans, you're going to have a sound system dance.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
So, they just planted it there from early on, and there were a lot of them that came over.
Yeah. And they moved into these neighborhoods, and the people just commingled and learned. And because I talked to Jawaria, and he talked about Steve Moscow, and he talked about how different it is over there in England, mm-hmm. especially London, you know. Actually, he called America was more like apartheid. I couldn't believe that, you know, the way that he was just, but it's like you say, how people see us.
You know, all I got to say is about the Brits, them are the greatest general of all. They started all this shit.
Watch it. Watch that word.
They started all of this.
Okay.
The slavery. I mean, of course, all over the world, people have enslaved each other back and forth.
Right.
But they started this major slave trade, okay? And then they tell everybody what they should be doing, and they take the moral high ground at this point.
Yeah.
They're the ones who started all this stuff, and they got somebody like that, you know, like talking how great they are. It's not musical apartheid here. You know, the music has caught on where there's Jamaicans here.
Yeah.
And it's still big. It's big here, but it hasn't spread throughout the whole country because you've got big areas where there's the kind of people who just can't relate. You know, we've got a big country, so we've got lots and lots of pockets where the music is, you know, fantastic. So,
well, it seems like the West Coast is, you know, all of the festivals happen out there. The people are really into the music more so out there.
They're more into roots. The East Coast is more into dancehall.
Yeah.
And that's because the West Coast is not doesn't have as many Jamaicans. West Coast doesn't have as many Jamaicans as the East Coast.
You know, that's interesting, Elena, because, you know, the students here always book the dancehall artists. And when the white students used to book the artists here, it would always be like the Wailers, Israel Vibration.
You said it.
It'd be the roots and culture artists.
Yeah, right, exactly. But that doesn't mean that the Jamaican students are less conscious.
No,
it's they're up with what is happening.
Yeah. That's what it is. And they can relate to that. If you're from there, you can relate to that. I mean, Capleton was here, you know. And, I mean, it caused a little problem, but I think in the end it turned out good because then there's dialogue now between the students where there wasn't before. So.
Well, you know, I can't stand when, you know, it's kind of like I treat, like, this whole homophobic thing is kind of a disability they have that they almost can't help themselves. And it's true because of the way they were brought up and the culture that they come from and and the culture they must answer to when they go home. You know, the whole situation in Jamaica with the industry is so deep and complex. It involves politicians, dons in the ghetto, all right?
Right.
These artists have to answer to those guys. Trust me.
Wow.
Trust me. I know this for a fact.
Wow.
Beanie Man and I wanted him to go to Trenchtown to the Culture Yard with me, and his people at Shocking Vibes didn't want him to go. They were afraid. This all, you know, because Beanie Man is from Craigtown. This is, you know, they're all, you know, this is all.
So politics.
The inner city.
It's really a lot of politicians behind a lot of this stuff.
Well, it's all complex. It's the same thing here, please.
Yeah.
It's like Bush being in bed with Enron or something like that. It's no different anywhere else. It's just a smaller island, so, you know, things get around a little faster. There's not the space and distance to separate them. Your face is in it. But what I want to say is he went anyway, and they sent somebody with him, but he and I rode together alone in his truck. And people went ahead of us, and so he made a sharp right and got away from them and took me to meet this guy in Black Roses in this little tenement yard. It was Willie Haggart, who was a very beloved but fearsome don who was killed a few months later over a girl or something. He was buried in National Heroes Park. The MP for the area gave a eulogy at his funeral. All right?
The Don.
It's not like this Don was a, you know, total bad guy. These people are in a position sometimes where it's either like scratch and scrape for nothing the rest of your life or do something to get something. And in the process, they do help some people along the way. I'm not saying they're not criminals and all of that. It's not black and white situation. It's not good or all bad. It's a very complex situation. because especially in Jamaica, the rich are getting richer, the few rich that are there, and the poor are getting poorer. The middle class people have had to leave if they possibly can.
What about Colombians? What about Colombians coming in? This is what I'm hearing, that Colombians, a lot of Colombians.
Well, the whole idea of, you mean Jamaica being a stop on the way,
yeah.
Coke's passage on the way. Yeah, sure, that's a big problem. The whole thing about the posses is they started out as political posses. The JLP armed their constituency in the 70s. The PMP had to do the same. And then with the advent of Coke, the political posses spun off into cocaine posses. They spun out of the control of the politicians, but they still retain a certain amount of connections.
Right.
They have to, in a way. The way things are set up, they kind of have to. It's a very, complex situation, and I don't understand it fully myself. I don't know that anybody knows. It's just deep. Let me say it's deep. And who's stuck in the middle but these artists? And these artists come out of poor areas. They come out of all these areas, and they are beholden to the people that they came from. And the people want them to help them, demand them to help them. It's so rough for these artists, I can't begin to tell you. So I can't imagine how a sizzler could say, gee, I was wrong, Everybody has a right to love the person of their choice.
You can't imagine
his
him
life,
saying that.
Yeah, because he can't say it, even if he believed it.
If he went back home, they would, yeah,
Please. Beanie Man tried to say something like that once on Ian Bowen's show Profile, and he heard about it, let me tell you.
Wow.
And these guys are in a very rough position. I've had artists, one after another, from Dennis Brown, Barris Hammond, talk about how hard it's been to live in Jamaica and the things that have been done to them.
Wow.
Oh, yes. They've all told me that. It's very rough. Very rough. Why wouldn't it be? There's a lot of poor people there,
Yeah, yeah.
And when you have poverty, you have people, desperate.
Mm-mm. Desperate people do desperate things.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So look what the U.S. did to that island with the so-called the World Bank. Loaned them money, and the terms of the loan are that they have to lift any restrictions on any imports in the U.S. So we have our factory farms undercutting the local farmers,
right,
in price for things like carrots, potatoes, and stuff. All of a sudden, in the supermarket, you see foreign carrots, foreign potatoes, foreign this, foreign that, foreign milk, powdered milk, all kinds of cruddy food, KFC, McDonald's, Burger King,
right,
all over the island. No more Jamaican food.
I have the DVD.
Disgusting.
I have the DVD, Life and Debt.
Life and Debt by Stephanie Black. That's one. I mean, she lines it out beautifully in that film. And also Born for Dead, Laurie Gunn's book.
Right.
Brilliant.
I got that book too. I read that too.
That Another, tells you all about the whole, about the dons, the posses, the whole,
yep,
politicians. She lines it out, between that film and that book. You can figure everything out, and you can understand the rage of the artists. They're expressing the rage of the people. I'm amazed they're not more angry than they are, and I'm amazed they're not more generous than they are. And I think that they view this whole commercial homosexuality now, and by that I mean the television shows, it's hip, gays remodeling straights,
right,
all
right,
that stuff. They view that as another assault on their culture, because it's a very Christian culture. So while I completely deplore homophobia, and something has to be done, and those buggery laws have to be struck down, and gays and bisexuals in Jamaica
and AIDS workers attacked by the police,
and AIDS workers have to be free to help people.
Right.
While all that has to happen, you have to understand the mindset of the people. You have to understand that a lot of people haven't had the experience, the education, and everything in their society is telling them that it's wrong, wrong, wrong.
Right.
And an assault on their spiritual and moral integrity. You have to understand where they're coming from.
Right, right, right.
And a lot of where they're coming from has to do with what we have done and do to them. So I find it really obnoxious for us to get on our moral high horse. I mean, we have a right to, you know, to say it's wrong and all that. But I got letters from people. Well, I got angry letters from Jamaicans. I got angry letters from gays. And then I got people who understood what I was trying to show, that when you have this collision between values, you know, human rights, gay rights, society's right to be what it is, you know, you have to, you can't just say they're a bunch of ignoramuses.
Right,
on either
right.
side. You can't. You have to understand each other and where you're coming from if you're going to ever have a change. Because what is your ultimate goal? Is it to just tell the other person what a fool you are?
You have to be...
What a yahoo you are? No, it's to... It's
compassionate to, communication. Compassionate communication.
Yeah, you have to have some kind of respect and compassion, as you say, for each other. And the first thing comes... The first step in that is trying to have a little understanding. But I got a lot of, you know, things from, even from like a so-called journalist friend of mine. I heard that she said something about that I was excusing inexcusable. I wasn't excusing anything. I was explaining. And what a sad world this is when people can't understand the difference. Everyone has his reasons. The great French filmmaker André Bazin said, everyone has his reasons. And my wonderful grandfather, always used to tell me, know your enemies. So between those two quotes, you got a good idea of that. I mean, that's the only attitude you can take if we want this world to get better.
How's your son?
My son, he's okay. He's fine. My little grandchildren are even better. they're adorable. Thank you.
And then the other thing is that you mentioned something about Rick James.
Oh, I don't know if that's happening.
That might not happen.
I don't
so
know
you don't
if
want
it's
to speak on you
not.
Don't want to speak on that
no,
one.
No,
yet.
I can't speak
okay,
on that.
Okay, okay.
I don't
good
know
enough.
If that's going to happen. Hope it does, but
And you got to head out somewhere this morning.
Yep, I do.
Well, you know, I'm going to put on some Ernie Smith and
I love Ernie Smith.
Oh, I love him too, and I'm going to put on the Willie Nelson new CD.
Yeah. I love Willie Nelson. I love that Willie Nelson and Toots. That's great.
Oh man, you got to hear. You got it. I got the new CD in the mail, so I'm going to treat the listeners to, you know, because see, I go from one extreme to another with the whole genre of reggae, from mento to dancehall.
It's all great. I love it all.
I do too.
What a gift! I'm so grateful to have, you know, gone to the island in '72 when The Harder They Come came out and got to see it there.
So you've been there numerous times.
Well, I lived there. I've been there hundreds of times,
wow,
but I've also
wow.
lived there. You know, I was really blessed, you know.
Yeah, man. You're lucky. You're lucky, Elena. Cause
I am lucky.
And then to be in New York, to be exposed to, you know, all of the happenings, you know, I remember seeing you at SOBs and Tramps, you know. That show that we were at with Steady, 1996, at the Cultures, the Heartbeat Splash,
uh-huh.
with the Meditations,
uh-huh.
Michael Rose,
uh-huh.
Sister Carol.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to send, you know, you got to email me your address, because I got all of that. Derek Harriott, too.
Oh, my
I mean,
God.
Not Derek Harriott, Derek Morgan.
Oh,
I have
yeah, Derek
all of,
Morgan, oh, my God.
I have all of that on CD now.
Oh, great.
I got to send it to you.
You do have to send it to me.
Yes, yes. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go. And I want to, anything coming up in any articles that are out there, and let people know where they could, get your books. And.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, you could just Google me.
Okay.
And I've got a website also.
Let them know that. Let the people, listeners, know your website.
www.elenaumano.com, ElenaOumano. And so it's not the greatest website, but it's there. So, I mean, it doesn't have everything on it at all. But I don't even, you know, I guess Googling, you get more things.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
Oh, that bio was pretty good, you know. I said, wow. Got a picture there.
I gotta go look. I gotta Google myself. And
now, what color is your hair now? You were telling me
half blonde, half dark.
Oh my God, that's different from when I saw you at the Luciano show.
Every girl should be a blonde once in her life. See what it's all about.
I hear
all the
you.
Propaganda.
Oh my God, you know I missed Steel Pulse the other night. You know, and I would just tell you this. I sent Sydney an email, and I told him, I said, you know, Sydney, you're on the ship, and the ship looks like it's rocking, but you're a sailor, and you'll handle it. And you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
And I did, you know, Thursday night they were in Poughkeepsie, so I said, nah, I'm not going to go check it out, you know. But, you know.
Well, we've heard it all and seen it all many, many times.
Oh, indeed, indeed. And nothing surprises us.
Well, I hope I'm still capable of surprise. I like surprises. I'm a big fan of surprises.
Hey, I got to come down there and visit you, man.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
So listen, so I'm going to email you when I, I'm on here till 4 o'clock today. So,
okay, have fun.
And Zion Judah is calling it too.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, man, and maybe I was, but not maybe, I will definitely send you a tape of this show.
Beautiful.
And I'll try to put this on the radioforall.net
okay.
Also, because it's interesting things we said. And, you know, I'll edit it, but, you know, the listeners out here really appreciate it, and Binghamton appreciate it, and
well,
the web.
Hi to all of them, you know.
And, you know,
lots of love.
And it's an interesting guy over in England that's listening from Preston, England. His name
really?
Is James Bamber.
Uh-huh.
Bam Jimba is the production. I'm going to tell you, and I should send you some information on him. Mm-hmm. He did a project where all of the proceeds to this CD is going to Sickle Cell.
And great.
And I'm going to send you some info on him because he's you'll find him quite interesting.
Great.
Okay, Elena?
Thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun.
Indeed. And
we'll be in touch.
Definitely.
All right.
One love every time, Elena.
Every time. Take care, all right?
Bye-bye.
Bye.